This is madness.
With 900 years old, you reach understood you or not.
Nerf herder.
I am a Jedi.
Too little short for a stormtrooper.
We have what they grow beyond.
Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Chris Ryan and Sam, I am Mike, and for the very first time, the droids are all in one place for a recording of the pod, guys. So nice to see your smiling faces, or in the case of Ryan, his grimace as I introduce this show.
I got on this podcast by answering a Craigslist ad, so I'm just relieved that everyone's not the same person different voices.
I expected to come into a room that was just like a bunch of computers. It was just like a random apartment in New York. You open it up and just four computers sitting on
you
the
walk
floor.
Into the singularity.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, anybody... I know I don't have much personality, but Chris, you can be a little nicer.
If anybody out there is good with audio, please. I was walking on the street. I had a bag thrown over my head. I don't know where I am, but if you can identify from ambient sounds, please send help. Send help.
Oh, it'd be funny if we were...
Seems like he's on the top of a mountain or something. It's very strange. Very strange.
Way to throw off the scent there, Chris.
Yeah, yep.
Well, guys, it's great to be here to have this podcast. Yeah. Episode 50 of the pod.
The big 50.
Can you believe that we've made it this far? I cannot.
Wow.
When I strong-armed my way onto this podcast, I was reliving a little bit. I was reminiscing now that we're at episode 50. But my first appearance on this podcast was episode 3, which, as you know, is my favorite of the prequels.
Mm-hmm.
It was when we talked about the Last Jedi trailer. And after that, I went home. I said to my wife, I'm going to get on that podcast. And I... you know, there's a few things in life that I could say I unanimously succeeded at, and here I am.
Here you are.
We're on the other side of episode 8.
Right.
Two Star Wars movies have come out since then.
Yep.
So I think we're looking pretty good.
And Ryan, your membership check is due pretty soon.
Yeah, so you got to pay my fees.
You got to pay your dues.
Somebody's got to pay for all this equipment.
Yeah, that was a while ago. It started with a conversation and a dream after The Force Awakens. What was that?
2015.
That was 2015.
Wait, you had a conversation in a dream?
No.
A conversation and a dream. Now that we're in person, it's really going.
That's real. Yeah, this is the first time.
It's harder to understand you sitting right next to you, to be honest.
There's a lot of computer modulation that happens in between.
When I guessed it on that first episode I was on, we recorded in Chris's bedroom. Now we're in Chris's kitchen, so we're moving way up.
We're moving way up. We got a sink, we got a coffee machine, the whole thing's really looking good here.
Chris, take a moment and be a little sincere with all of you here. I have to say, I don't think we would have made it to episode 50 without the additions of Ryan and Sam. I think we would have maybe tapered off. We needed this kind of jolt of energy coming from the two of you, and it really made the biggest difference, and that's why we're all here today, still on the Droids Pod.
Guys, I'm thrilled. I wasn't going to get sappy until the end, but I am thrilled. Mike, a new friend to my life since the podcast. I didn't even know you.
Yeah. Didn't know you at
Sam
all.
And Chris I had known, but our friendships have only deepened. So here we are, having a love fest. Sam's looking at me like he doesn't know what I'm talking about. He's here for the money.
I want you all to know I'm in a kitchen somewhere. Please, again. No.
Three. If you've seen three crying men and one scared-looking man.
With a bag over his head outside.
That's just Tuesday night here.
No, I will echo what everybody is saying. Mm-hmm. And it's become a thing that, like, I do... I look forward to the night we record every week, and it's like just a great it's become a great excuse for me to like make sure to block out time to talk to three of my closest friends, and that's probably more meaningful even than having the opportunity to like talk about Star Wars, which we all love, but it's really just like a great chance to hang out with you guys, you know, whether it's in person or over the Skype.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, one of the great things that Star Wars does is that it brings people together. Like you just said, I know it sounds hokey, but it's like you didn't, Ryan.
Sounds like a hokey old religion.
Ryan, you didn't know Mike.
No.
But it's just our mutual love of Star Wars
Yeah.
Made us all become friends. And then, like, Mike, when we were talking...
I talked to Ryan more than I talked to my son.
Right?
That's true. And I definitely talk more than the kid does.
Yeah.
But then I didn't know Mike. Yeah. Now, Mike is one of my closest friends. Yeah. We went to visit his baby.
Yeah.
There's a lot more I get out of this relationship than I do with my son right now. So, Ryan, I appreciate that you can bring that to the table.
You're going to regret saying that to me because I'm very emotionally competitive and I'm going to try to keep that up.
It's like, you should really stop feeding Ryan what he doesn't want.
Once I hear that, I hear that someone is getting something out of me, oh, I'm going to keep giving it.
Well, we should probably talk about some news, but we should also, before we get to that, we have emails. We have multiple emails
in
this edition of the pod.
Great.
Something to surprise you before we get started.
I did not know this.
So we did a little shout out, and Chris, I may ask for your help because we have some listeners across the ocean in Ireland.
All right.
And we got a great email, and I may ask for your help. Maybe you know the pronunciation here on the email.
Okay.
I think for number 50, Mike's going to finally reveal the numbers to us.
We're going to live announce the numbers of our listeners.
All right, name
7. Diarmed.
So thank you for this email, as the email states, "Hi guys, hello from Ireland. Big thanks for the shout out at the back end of episode 47. Very impressed and humbled. Big fan club developing over here. Good to know we have a fan club. Plenty of Skellig stories, but not just Dingle. Scenes were filmed all along the West Coast, and Donegal and Clare, the attached scene was shot in nearby Clare, and that's the shot of the area where Rey is looking down into the dark pit in The Last Jedi
on
the
island.
That was shot in nearby Clare. You guys got me thinking they need to start a sister site scene business. So they want a sightseeing business in Ireland that will be See the Droids You're Looking For. They'll name it, and they'll be able to check out all the sites of The Last Jedi.
Wow.
Wishing you guys continued success. Duramade, thank you very much for the email.
Oh,
that
thanks.
Is much
thank
appreciated.
You so much.
That's great.
That's great. I love the idea.
And
we'll,
I think
we'll even give you a better deal, and we'll split it 75-25 with you. that's better than
the licensing fees for the name that we did not license from Lucasfilm.
Yeah, yeah. So that's to pay for our legal fees.
I think there might be, we've talked about droids trips in the past. Mm-hmm. Maybe an ex-droid trip would be over to Ireland to check out all these scenes because
that'd be rad.
We could get over to Skellig Michael. We could make that happen. I think it would be worth our while.
I think it'd be great.
Yeah.
Guys, I never went on a honeymoon, so.
Hey.
This will have to be my honeymoon.
There you saw that.
Hey,
there was
our 50th anniversary.
There was that like Amex commercial several years ago, where a father and son, like a son takes his father back to Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
To go and do all the sightseeing, mm-hmm. and they pay for it all with a car. I could really use a trip like that, but like with you guys. That'd be great.
Well,
they never
Sam,
get to after when they have to pay the credit card bill.
It's like, what?
Sam, it's very interesting that you say that, because our next email, subject head is not from Ireland, and it's from someone named Rachel. Says, I'm a listener in a country, so I'll keep writing in, but I'm not from Ireland. Love you guys. Keep on keeping on. Happy to be exiled from half of my apartment every week, if it means I get to listen to a new episode and all of your lovely voices.
Aww.
Side little... note here at the end. I think Ryan should actually make a theme song for Chris's segment. There's a great 90s radio jingle to be made of Hot and Fresh with Chris.
We'll see at the end of this episode, because I'm going to start writing it in my head now. Thanks, Rachel.
Thanks.
So we hope that Rachel
Sam
didn't hear that first part.
Silent.
It's so weird that there's another Rachel out there who loses half her apartment every week.
That's
crazy.
It's wild.
Is it because her partner hates listening to the droids?
It's because we live in Brooklyn and have a railroad, so you literally close off half the apartment.
I was keeping up with the bit that it was a different Rachel. She loses half the apartment because the partner has to leave, so she can listen.
I got it.
You ruined it.
This has been The Droid You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast.
The first ever in-person edition comes to a close. Actual
Sam,
news.
Is this the angry face you're making every time we record? You just can't see.
Yeah.
I'm going into full Raphael mode.
Yeah, we all have different podcasts.
You would like to send us into fits with your email, you can email us at droidspod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from any Rachels out there. We'll continue to hear from the one Rachel connected to this podcast. But send us your emails, Twitter, DroidsPod, Facebook, DroidsPod. You know the drill. Please follow us, comment, leave us a review in iTunes. We'd love to hear from you. We got another nice review on iTunes from a new podcast. Chris, I believe you are connected, as we all are, to the Mean Book Club
podcast. Yeah, available now on iTunes. I think they're on their fifth book. They've done like Pelican Brief.
Yeah, I believe the most recent one, I believe, was The Shack.
The Shack, yeah.
Which I don't know if it's Nicholas Sparks or a Nicholas Sparks alike.
Yeah, right.
But it's a great podcast. Like,
very funny.
It's not Nicholas Sparks. It's a guy. It was a self-published book. He wrote it for his children about his relationship. I do listen to the mean book club.
All right,
yeah,
right.
As well.
It's great. It's
really,
so funny.
Really funny. Yeah.
Worth a download, and of course, former guests of the pod.
Exactly. It gives our formal Droids seal of approval.
The tip of the cat.
Whoa, that's my coffee machine going off.
We got the tip of the cat from the Droids pod to the meeting.
The official
book.
Tip of the cat.
Yeah. All right,
Jonna, Sarah, and Sabrina, who've all been on the Droids You're Looking For in the past, are all regular hosts of that show, along with their friend Clara. So do give a listen.
We may not have a lot of listeners, but we do know they're completists, and they've listened to every episode we've recorded. So they know who we're talking about when we talk about the interviews. All right, actual news to get into, because we have some discussion to be had after the comments made by Bob Iger this past week. He said that maybe we went a little too fast. We moved a little too quickly. The Mouse House, with the comments that there might have been some mistakes that were made in the lead up to creating these other Star Wars films beyond just the regular saga. They're going to reevaluate. They're still going to be making movies. JJ is still in production. Interesting what Bob Iger did. He name-checked JJ's next film. Name-checked the Benioff and Weiss saga that's being developed.
Oh, interesting.
Did not mention the TV series, but the TV series is likely happening. Mm-hmm. And the bigger omission, the Rian Johnson trilogy was not mentioned. Now, Bob Iger may have just not said it because it wasn't top of mind, and he knows that that's already full into not production, but all the writing that Rian Johnson has done. I'm not worried, but certainly those who are anti-Rian Johnson have taken this as a sign that that trilogy might be on hold. We'll get to that in a moment. First reaction, my thought is, please no. I don't want to see you take a step back. You could have made smarter decisions along the way. We've talked about the release date for Solo could have been better. The marketing for Solo could have been much better. Changes could be made there. And obviously, you don't want to have to change directors in the middle of it, switch over to Ron Howard, make all the changes that they did. Things could be done better. But they didn't need to decide to cut out some of the content they were planning to make, some of the films in the series.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed to hear that there's going to be less Star Wars.
I think they just need to fix their timing issues, right? I think, in my opinion, I think they should have let the new trilogy, kind of stand on its own. I think it would have really kind of emphasized the importance of each of those movies in a it would have been more of an event. But I think. I just hear a phone ringing. Sorry. Is that getting picked up?
Chris, we're going to have to... Listen, phone's ringing like...
Chris, you're just going to have to go through it.
I have to muscle through it. Sorry. As soon as I hear a phone ring, I want to answer it.
I think it was in this apartment.
But I think they could have spaced it out, and I think it could have given a little more breathing room. It would have made these new trilogies feel a little more prestigious. Maybe they shouldn't have started with Rogue One.
I think
made $150 million. I think Rogue One went well.
That is true. That is
Solo.
True.
Was
I think
the
issue that they've run into is twofold, which is it's a bit of a conundrum because you want to go off the momentum of Disney has Star Wars now. We're revamping, making Star Wars movies, and so they want to capitalize on that momentum. You don't want to just be like, okay, Star Wars is just a thing that comes out every 3 years now. They want to do that, but at the same time, they want to keep it special every time. I think that they were maintaining that. I think that Solo was a huge problem in terms of timing. I think that movie comes out in December. It does very well. Because, I mean, think of, you know, people have lives going on, things like that. In the holidays, people are looking for stuff to do. The kids are off from school.
Right.
I think Solo came out in the first week of May.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, kids are still in school.
And it was, 2 weeks after Avengers.
Yeah. And, kids
and
are still...
Deadpool.
And Deadpool. Yeah. Yeah.
Kids
and
are
Ant-Man.
Still in school. Families are, busy. They're going on trips and stuff. Where, in the holidays, it's basically, a dead time for, people to just kind of be killing time.
And for movies like that, often holidays are, you know, you often get your prestige pictures, the ones that are, you know, in the hunt for the Oscars. It is family, feel good movies, but often they're kind of those cheesy, you know, home for the holidays type comedies.
Like the movie Home for the Holidays.
So there, I realized as I was saying, I was like, that's a real movie. Very creative title.
I think there's at least four movies.
Somebody probably got rid of big check for coming up with that title, because that was a good one. That was a big... It was missing for a long time from that genre. They just said, nobody's ever titled it this.
The Family Stone.
But the idea that... I mean, it is crazy. We're not going to have a Star Wars movie this December.
Yeah.
And which, it's because they already released the one that came out this year, and they released it at the worst possible time. I do think it's the wrong message when Bob Iger is saying that, you know, maybe it was a mistake to go with the one per year, because I don't think that's a mistake. I think that's misreading it. I think the mistake was releasing it right in the thick of
less
everything
than a year.
Else that yeah. that and Marvel is a it's not going to overtake Star Wars, but it's a competitor to Star Wars.
Well,
so when, you know, when you were
kind of not business wise,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
No, but it's they release a movie a year. Obviously, Marvel does more than that. Actually,
yeah, well, that's
like
a year.
Three.
And they've maintained that Avengers movies are event pictures, and there's a way to do this where there's movies that come out between the episodes that are fun and good, and everybody goes. And then when the episodes come out, that is the event picture.
Yeah.
Infinity War had much more fanfare than Ant-Man and the Wasp, but Ant-Man and the Wasp did really well.
Yeah,
it's a marketing problem again.
Yeah,
it just comes back to that. But Bob Iger did not say that they wouldn't do one a year. I think what they've learned is they're not going to try to do two or three a year,
sure.
or two in such a short period of time.
That's
the impression that I have from it, because he didn't get into specifics about that. But I would still just hesitate. Chris, I agree with what you're saying. You want to try to make this the bigger event.
Yeah.
But I think there's opportunity in there, because we all live in this short attention span world that as long as you don't overdo it, like within another one in 5 months, you can continue to feed off of this passion.
Do you think they were like a little desperate too to run like the Star Wars like May experiment? Because traditionally Star Wars were also released in May.
I thought, but it's so crazy because they so quickly have made us associate it with December.
With the holidays. Now,
after
like,
six movies have come out on the third weekend in May,
like,
every time.
It just like doesn't feel right to have a May Star Wars. Like, I like the coziness that a holiday Star Wars feel. And like, I feel like they were trying to push episode 9 release date to May to kind of, I think, just to tie in with the nostalgia. I feel like they're like, we got to try one. Like, we got to do one.
Yeah.
Like, they could have held this movie.
Well, for
some
all,
time
especially
editing.
Since they waited so long to release trailers and stuff like that. I feel like they could have used that extra 6 months.
Well, they were finishing the movie.
Based on
I read
they could have believe me, I've watched that movie a few times now. They could have used an
in
extra
the behind
6 months.
The scenes, they were saying they were actually finishing the movie as people were watching it in theaters.
I read an interesting thing that was that. It had, and I need to look it up to actually get the details right, because this isn't my forte, but it had to do with like the fiscal year of Disney and like the earnings versus loss calculations that they do.
Yeah, they had to get
do,
it in.
That they decided, they elected to release it when they did so that they could book the loss, I think, in the same time that they had like the income from Last Jedi and Avengers or something.
Hmm.
People... Look
a
on
lot
the internet
of companies,
what it is.
No, a lot of companies' fiscal year starts in March.
But
strangely, like so.
But
they,
so you're saying their tracking was bad enough that they wanted to put the loss on the prior.
They probably
year.
Wanted to even it out with Infinity War.
Somehow, somehow that impacted like the decision not to, or could have been. This is all speculation. Mm-hmm. Disney obviously did not comment on this or release a statement. But like that was the one running theory that I thought that makes more sense than anything else I've read about choosing May. If they're literally saying we want to book this, you know, income loss, whatever, on our sheets at this time, that seems like a decision they might make.
So that Q2 to stakeholders still looks like a massive win because Infinity War made you know, $2 billion.
So like that's kind of like where I think
where things get sticky.
That's where the Disney takeover kind of like has a little bit of effect on that, because like if this was just purely independently operated and run Lucasfilm, they would not have like
Lucasfilm
that
didn't have stakeholders.
Like they wouldn't have had that issue. Like it would have just been like, okay, we'll make it when we make it. Like they don't.
He still
think...
might have cared when he
I'm
still
sure,
might
yeah.
have needed money
yeah.
or not had.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, those decisions still get.
Yeah, I'm planning on. I'm gonna.
Have you seen toys?
I'm gonna build a new robot, I need to bring the money now.
Actually, we're gonna release this action figure, and I just made $7 billion. So.
So put it out when you put it out.
But you know that Kathy Kennedy and everybody else at Lucasfilm was not going to be like, fine, put it in there in your budget and let it just sink.
No, but I think that they know that they have to play ball.
They have stakeholders now,
Yeah.
Like, you know, Lucasfilm now, even though Lucasfilm is just a subsidiary of Disney, it's still a corporate entity.
Oh, of course.
And I'm not even saying this the way people are like, oh, Disney's ruining Star Wars. It's like, Solo would have been Solo whether it came out in May or December. You know, like, an extra 6 months may have made... the movie a little tighter, but right. like the movie's still the movie. So unless yeah. they were going to go back and like, do more reshoots.
Yeah, yeah. Which, you're right.
Yeah.
I don't know if any movie's ever survived a second round of massive reshoots.
I mean,
reshoots.
I think at that point you're just making a new movie.
Yeah, which may have been a good idea.
But as we talked about, yeah. you could lead up the marketing a lot better. And, yeah. and the bigger statement is not a statement about the quality of the film for the opening weekend. We keep on talking about the $80 million for the opening weekend. That's the quality of the marketing because
yeah.
Yeah.
even if you have... Everybody who wants to see multiple movies at that time, they don't want to see Han Solo. There's a way to get people in the seats, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, well, and like Sam was saying, in terms of like usually what the holiday fare is, there's usually that one big movie.
Yeah.
For a while, it was Harry Potter.
Yep.
Which was like the movie
your Thanksgiving
that was like,
into Christmas.
Yeah, and it was like the injection people needed when they, you know, well, we're not going to take the kids to see Phantom Thread again, you know, like or whatever. in that they took them once.
Yeah,
they already took the kids to see Phantom Thread once.
Oh, you didn't buy the pass.
I will be taking my children to see that movie though, or I'll be on the re-release, or I'll be showing them that movie to show them what true love is and what it looks
kill
like.
Me? Where's your gun?
THX remaster of Phantom Thread.
Did I miss when AMC started selling the Dunkirk pass to see it as many times as you wanted to in theaters with all your friends?
Wait a second. Yeah, they put those when you get that, they put you on a list.
You could see it five times, once for every projection type that was available yeah,
exactly.
for that movie.
Christopher Nolan's like, it's not right yet. Yeah. No, not
and
that.
If it wasn't 70mm, Christopher Nolan gave an introduction about how you were stupid.
He apologizes for you. He comes
it takes
out.
Him that many screenings to get the sound yeah. levels right.
Yeah. Listen, I don't want to be a backseat CEO of a massive company, but
take the reins.
Uncle Bob, listen.
You should slow down.
I just, it seems like a big reaction. I don't want to be a backseat Iger, but...
There it is. There it
found
is. That's
we
the,
found it, guys.
We got
don't
that's
worry.
The episode title.
But I think that, I think all of this was... a big reaction to it's not even like that much of a commercial failure. Like, you know, it's still made like almost yeah. 300 million worldwide. Yeah. I understand that it's going to be a right, like yeah. they're going to lose money on yeah. it, but like,
it's still like,
this isn't exactly Town and Country.
Right.
You know
it's
what
like,
I mean? It's
like,
not Gates of Heaven. It's not putting Disney out.
It's not even a trend.
Yeah.
I mean, this
yeah.
is one film that was a mistake. Rogue One did gangbusters. 150
yeah.
million
yeah,
in the opening weekend. What was the overall box office by the end? Close to 500 million? I mean, there,
yeah,
there's
it was
no
a billion.
It was a billion?
Yeah.
For Rogue
like,
One? Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. It's like one of those, like, top 100 movies.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's like this optically people are still reacting to this like vocal minority of people who hated The Last Jedi. So what Disney is doing right now is that they're like, people didn't seem to like The Last Jedi and then Solo didn't do that well, and they're like determining causality, and I think that that's ill-advised. Granted, there are plenty of people at Disney who are much smarter than me and looking into this, but I do think that like publicly at least, which is what I can speak to, is that they've had much larger of a reaction than I think they should have. I don't think that they should have commented so much on the failure of Solo. Strangely, they didn't comment at all on the failure of John Carter or the Lone Ranger. You know, later yeah. they'd be like, it turns yeah. out Disney lost $300 million yeah. on John Carter.
Yeah.
And like they were just like, well, we're very proud of it. And Andrew yeah. Stanley, why won't they just stick by their guns with
yeah.
this? It's like
yeah.
very strange.
Yeah,
to
they
me.
Should just commit to it.
They didn't even have another thing in development that they, well, I guess Boba
well,
Fett was.
Well,
it?
Here's
they,
the thing.
I heard
that
was
allegedly.
This is what I was actually going to get to, is that this is the first time since Disney like really announced their slate of the new trilogy and stuff that we like don't know what's actually next. We know there's a Benioff and Weiss mm-hmm. trilogy. We know there's a Rian Johnson trilogy because all this, we'll get into it, but that's all hooey. That's not going anywhere. But the idea is like, we don't have an announcement for the Obi-Wan movie that
yeah.
we all know is coming. And
yeah.
the reason I think for that
yeah.
is whatever they're doing, whatever this calculus they're running, mm-hmm. and rather than just standing by the movie, or Ewan McGregor's asking for like multiple truckloads
yeah.
of money
yeah.
being backed up to his
He's
door, and they're like, "Hey, man,
Robin bucks now."
But you
oh,
know,
yeah, it was a Disney picture.
Yeah.
Did you see the story that Ewan McGregor was seated next to Ray Park at the premiere of Solo?
Oh,
and
wow.
so when Ray Park showed
Didn't
up in the movie.
Him, huh?
Well, no, no.
Yeah, he came in. He came in with.
If
the
everybody's
whole,
watching Ray Park's yeah. Instagram, yeah. he is a thirsty man.
Well, I mean, he just did the. Did was he in? Was he in Solo? Was that?
Yeah,
him?
Yeah, that was him.
But not his voice.
Not his voice.
Oh.
Sam.
Wait, sorry.
Sam
finish Wentworth. The story, Mike.
Ewan McGregor was with his son, and his son freaked out more about Darth Maul than like any other character because obviously he remembers his dad fighting
yeah.
Darth Maul
yeah.
in the original
oh,
prequels.
That's great.
And so I guess it was just a huge moment because Ewan
yeah.
McGregor didn't know, and his
yeah.
son didn't know, and then. That's... Ray Park had no one knowing what was going on until he popped up in the movie.
Wow.
Ray Park is really going for it. And
Ray Park is the most devastated that the solo trilogy world isn't
happening. I've watched his Instagram, and I'm not going to say... Well, it didn't make me not sad.
Oh. Wait, he got to be in Solo, and then...
No, it's just the fact that he's posting him like doing... Like bo staff routines in his backyard.
I think it's the hits.
He's very much
for a movie that came out 20 years
he's
ago.
He's getting the hits.
He's very much he's training and he's definitely like stoking a fire of like bringing back his character. Yeah. And currently it does look like
it worked.
Disney isn't sure. No. But he's doing it now. And Disney seems to not be sure if they're continuing down the road.
Right.
I think they're sure now.
The thing, it's just like the video's weird because it's like next to a shed and a trampoline.
Yeah. That's true.
Looks like he did it between like mowing the lawn, which is cool. But it's
pretty much that was what he was doing before Phantom Menace, right?
That was, I mean, he was, that was a
I will not have you speak that as a toad from X-Men.
Oh, true.
That was a cast.
Was that before?
Do you know what happens to a toad when it gets hit by lightning?
That was after. Like, Ray Park was after Toad and 99. X-Men was after Phantom Menace.
Oh, you're right. You're right. His most famous role was to come after Phantom Menace.
He was Darth Maul was cast because of Lawrence Kasdan's son, John.
You mean in Solo?
In Solo.
Right.
Because when they were picking, basically there was just like a slot for a legacy character.
Right. Oh yeah, and John Kasdan
and John Kasdan said pick this guy, and Lawrence Kasdan was like, "Who?" Like,
yeah. And Ron Howard was like, "You know, it'd be fun if one of my grandkids picked this."
Yeah, right.
Yeah, if one of my grandkids. Yeah.
And then Clint picked it.
Yeah. Well, but you can make the argument as the failure of the movie, however you want to pitch it. I think that Darth Maul's extended story in Clone Wars and Rebels did make it a worthy cameo.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I would love to see that perhaps Kira what had some force powers, and maybe she was training to be like a Sith or something. And that was the trade-off. Like,
yeah, that's what everybody wants. More Kira.
I
have a problem with Amelia Clark in this movie.
Yeah. In the movie? Oh, more Kira in Solo? Yeah, sure. But like now? No, I never need to see that character again.
Well, the character as it exists now, because they did nothing with that. It's crazy how nothing they did with that character.
Yeah.
I acknowledge that wasn't grammatically correct. But.
I still want to think back to the time that Woody Harrelson and others said this was the best script that Star Wars had.
I would love to read whatever script they had.
He didn't finish it. He said this is the best script of a Star Wars movie that I've been in that I've read.
In May of 2018, this is going to be the best Star Wars movie in theaters.
Like, Woody Harrelson's in this movie. I didn't even remember that.
Yeah.
Tandy Newton is doing the coolest stuff in this movie, and she is dispatched very quickly.
Dispatched is my new favorite word.
I gotta say, I don't watch it with any ill will or negativity. I mean, like, I
watched it twice on an airplane. I watched a little bit of it last night.
I've watched it, so since the iTunes release came out, I've watched it three times, but really consolidated, I'd say it's really one time, because I fast-forward through, like, a lot of stuff.
Teach me that.
It's basically, once Lando shows up, that movie really gets going, I think.
Yeah.
And I watched on the timer, Lando doesn't show up for an hour.
Yeah.
The first hour of that movie...
You're not
like,
a Lady Proxima fan.
I actually do like Lady Proxima. I could have done
I like
more
that
of that
thing. It felt very...
Lady Proxima is on the... She's on the initial planet.
She's
serpentine.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was so dope.
I thought that was cool. Linda Hunt does the voice.
Yeah. Really?
Isn't that cool? Yeah.
It made me think of like an old Jim Henson, like Dark Crystal or something, like when they all went in that weird realm. And I like that they're all like light sensitive, like creatures or something.
Yeah.
That's kind of a neat
I don't know why they built glass windows.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, hey, maybe don't put a window. What if that window breaks? Don't worry.
It's got dust on it. It's
It'll never happen.
Yeah, don't worry.
No, Mike, just to address it, I am being hard on Solo right now. And here's the issue is that, like, in my mind, that movie was so ephemeral, like it faded instantly, and when I think about it I do think of like the problems, like I think of the holes in the plot, I think of like the characters that I'm like, why can't I tell you any of their names? One of them was Tobias something, but like the idea
Woody.
That like you don't remember
Tobias Beck,
like I don't remember who's what or like what they did or what really happened, but I know that when I inevitably buy the movie and do watch it again, I'm going to have a blast. Mm-hmm. I'm sure of it, just because it runs it signals, it runs like a movie that I'm supposed to have fun during. And mm-hmm. it, like, that works on me.
Sam, yeah. if you watch this movie again before you watch The Last Jedi,
yeah.
I'm going to dunk you in the toilet.
this is what sets Ryan off to be a full-on Star Wars bully.
I'm going to ask on air, am I allowed to watch The Last Jedi now without you guys again? Because I've set it up as like a thing we're doing.
You can't watch anything.
I don't think so. You can't. Yeah.
Nothing.
No more movies.
If you watch another episode of television without you watching The Last
you're
Jedi,
going in that
you're
toilet.
Just
going
to get dunked.
You're going in that toilet.
No, but I think Sam's right. We got to watch it together. Yeah. We need to record his initial reaction to his second viewing.
We'll have him up, yeah. If I could just
I don't want you to touch anybody either. I don't want you to go to work.
could have been a good 50th episode.
And that was the droids you're looking for. If I could just play Monday Morning Iger for a bit. Just going on
sports
a theme.
Fans
going
out there.
Going on a theme, yep. Touchdown.
I didn't get that. Sports reference.
I have nothing to follow up. I just wanted to say that.
Oh, you're sorry. Sam, you want to take your crack at an Iger pun?
Armchair Iger.
Oh, there it is. There it is. There it is.
You don't have to say anything.
That's the sound.
Chris is really Michael Scotting it over here. Chris has called the entire office over for a big announcement. nothing to say.
I was about to say something, and then I got something stuck in my throat.
Oh, yeah. What were you about to say? Go ahead and say it now.
In regards to the Rian Johnson trilogy and the D.V. Weiss trilogy.
You're bringing us back to what we need to
do. Good save. Uh-oh. Wonder if there's some kind of convergence that might happen there. Like, if they don't keep them two separate trilogies.
What?
You don't think so?
It sounded like you were just saying a lot of words.
Wait, what does that mean?
Like,
I'm worried
if
there might be some kind of convergence.
No, like, if I'm saying, like, if they are trying to scale back or, like, pull the brakes, would they have those three collaborate together?
One of those creators would walk out. Either D.B. Weiss and Benioff or Rian Johnson. They're not going to work together. They're just going to.
D.B. Weiss and Benioff.
Rian Johnson doesn't want to join those two into doing. He's doing his own thing.
You have a part in this script here, David and D.B., where you kill all the babies in the galaxy.
Yeah, like George already did that.
Oh, yeah, he did. That's true. Maybe I'm behind it now.
I'm not.
But they
actually,
do TV. Ryan does movies.
The super younglings.
Have they done a movie?
David Benioff has written screenplays.
They haven't done a movie together though. I've tried to find a technical catch.
Yeah, you're right. It's
see, they've never done a movie together.
I won't believe any of it's happening until something actually gets into production.
I want to see
I
a
think
trailer.
More likely than anything, the Weiss and Benioff one would be the one that wouldn't go forward.
Oh wow!
Because Rian Johnson. Regardless of the backlash, seems to have the pulse of Star Wars.
He also has a good relationship, seemingly, with the studio. Yes. Like, I know Kathleen Kennedy adored him, at least publicly.
You'd think Bob Iger did probably as well.
Bob Iger said, Ryan, who?
But the credit that I give to Disney that they even went the route they did with The Last Jedi, mm-hmm. that makes me think that as a company, they are a little bit more forward-thinking than to be so reactive to, like, all right, well, a few very vocal people are upset about this. We're going to change everything we're planning to do. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the reason they're making a change. I am worried about Rian Johnson's trilogy, but there's no reason to actually be concerned yet. We have no detailed hard facts as to why this may not happen.
Sure.
But it is disappointing that Bob Iger didn't say anything. I kind of wish he could just come out and be like, we're full steam ahead. Can't wait. Really excited about it.
Yeah, I think also Rian Johnson got another movie going, which was probably a smart business move because in terms of Disney's kind of fickleness with these kinds of things, it makes sense that he'd like kind of keep his career moving.
He doesn't want to have an Edgar Wright situation where he dropped out of Ant-Man and then had, 5 years between movies?
Right. Yeah, or like, you know, Josh Trank would be a bad example. But like, you know, like just, Disney just dropped me. Now I have like a little bit of a stink on me or like whatever like that.
And Rian Johnson's new movie, that's Space Battles? Is Space Battles 2. The whole trilogy of the Space Battles world.
You want to take another? You want to do another pass?
Yeah, please, please. If I could just play Monday Morning Armchair.
the Rian Johnson movie he's working on with Daniel Craig, who's now going to be in his next James Bond movie after 5 Star Wars movies have come out between the last Bond movie and the new one. Let's talk about that.
Sam, save it for your therapist.
But you gotta think of it as like the difference between Bond and Star Wars. As much as we focus so much on the Skywalkers and the saga, Bond's one character. He can't have a cinematic universe of a movie every year.
True. No, I agree. Mm-hmm. That was me. That was me segging out of a bad joke. that none of you will ever hear.
Is the nun part of the Bond cinematic universe? Do you want to segue out of that bad joke?
The nun?
Yeah. Is that part of The Conjuring? Or is The Conjuring part of the Bond?
The Conjuring universe? Everything's a cinematic universe now.
Oh, you came in to help Chris on his joke?
The Murphy Brown cinematic universe.
Here's a legit question. Is there going to be another cinematic universe that works?
Mm. Maybe The Fast and the Furious. If Tyrese and The Rock can get over their feud.
Oh,
with right, who? Right.
Oh, they're having a feud
with each other.
Oh, wow. Well, they'll both be in Star Wars movies soon enough.
I don't. Yeah, it might be a while because I think everyone's taking the wrong lessons from like what worked about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Which now that I've said that, I couldn't put my finger on it either. Aside from the fact that they committed,
it was the first. I mean, I do think that there's. I mean, this has been written about and said before, but it's like there's benefits to being the first, and there was a lot of risk there because if any of those early movies really didn't work, and I mean, some of them had like mixed reviews, but if any of them really fell flat, you know, you wind up looking like DC and Warner Brothers right now today. Yeah. But what happened was they made a few just solid enough movies, but they were also the first to ever really aggressively tie those all together. You know,
they were also characters that we hadn't seen before. On screen.
Right, right. So
like, aside from the Hulk, like, Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, like, they've never been done where it's
they haven't been done.
We've seen 15 Batman movies, a ton of Superman stuff. We've never seen a Wonder Woman, so that's exciting. But then, you know, Justice League comes around and wipes the schmutz right off the windshield.
But you can look at the different ones who've tried, is that DC at least considered the ramp up. Like, here's our stories to get to the bigger story, to get to the event film. Star Wars didn't try that.
Right.
And that's kind of the problem, is that it probably should have, because you would have felt, hey, I need to see this.
Yeah.
I don't have to, I can't skip this because I won't know what's going on then.
Well actually, see, I don't know. I actually think what would have worked better is, like, I want these standalone movies, the non-saga movies, to be off. Like, I'm excited about the Rian Johnson trilogy because it's totally different. Because it's presumably not... It's going to take place in a part of the galaxy we haven't seen before with characters we haven't seen. Part of what I don't like conceptually about Solo is it's this idea of, like, it gets slotted into the saga. Even though it's not a saga film, you go, when did this take place? Oh, it's before this and after this. So this is, you know, this is Han at this point in his career. Where does it fall in relation to Rogue One, which is right before A New Hope? It's like, we actually haven't broken out of the saga.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, the Skywalkers weren't a focus of either of the two standalones, but, like, they have not been, in my opinion, different enough. But, you know, even the Marvel movies, which all take place in this shared cinematic universe, I mean, if you stack up, you know, Black Panther and put it next to Ant-Man, those actually don't feel related. They're only related when you get to the big team-up films and realize, oh, these people are in the same place.
Or those last, all, like, the Star Wars movies things,
definitely feel related.
Yeah, I was gonna
like
say,
too related.
Isn't nine movies kind of a cinematic universe? Like, nine Star Wars movies? Like, it is a cinematic.
Well, it's just, they're not so, it's the same story. It's one linear narrative story. Well, I guess you could say the same thing about the Marvel ones.
Not really one linear narrative story. Like, I mean, they've kind of, each trilogy is kind of its own.
True, but they're trying to say that 1 through 9 all connect.
Yeah, they do. They do. They have connective tissue, but, like, they're their own things.
I think if you pull in, like, some of the cartoons and the animated series, that to me starts to feel like a cinematic universe. That to me starts to feel like we're getting stories from pockets,
and yet it's all still been in between the movies or leading up to the movies
and on TV.
Yeah, also true. Yeah, it's very so far it is entirely.
I mean, they really did, like, it, with the prequel trilogy. Like, General Grievous was introduced in the Clone Wars animated show. I think the Jendy Tartakovsky one, like the hand drawn one, before Episode 3. So, like, he comes in coughing, and that's because, like, Mace Windu crushed his chest in an episode of the Clone War. Like, that's like a cinematic or like television universe.
Yeah.
Did we ever see, did Grievous ever, like, have just, like, a straight-up human form, like, before he got...
I don't think, like, so. Not that we saw. He wasn't even mentioned in the movies before episode 3.
It's crazy that they open episode 3 with, like, a big bad like the boldness of that, of being like, this is the guy. You should all know him, but like, really, you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Classic George.
Back to the drawing board. That's what they were kind of going.
We cut our other one in half.
But the challenge that it keeps coming back to is we keep on thinking about what we want, and we know what we want as Star Wars fans and as big movie fans.
Mm-hmm.
But the concern is, what is the average person actually going to go to the theater to see? And I think every time Phantom we talk about it, it's like, we do want this separate world. I want all these separate films. I want Rian Johnson's trilogy. But the fan who's going to show up needed some sort of touch point of, I know that. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that fan didn't want to be like, I know Solo, and I want to see it without Harrison Ford. I mean, I think that's the problem, is that you need a touch point. You needed, sadly, you needed like a Vader film, even though people would know the prequels were Vader's story.
Right.
You needed something that, I don't want to insult people, but for people who don't know anything about it, like, oh, I know who that is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I know, and, I know who Darth Vader. Yeah, like, if you don't understand the complexities of Han Solo, then, like, maybe, like, on the surface, he's a harder thing just to read than, like, Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Well, they keep referencing the Kessel Run in Solo. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
They say, like, oh, and the spice mines of Kessel, and the four of us go, like, ooh. But, like, no one else.
No one knows that.
That literally, if you are not a huge Star Wars fan who follows everything, that is the most throwaway line in Episode 4. He literally says, made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. Never mention it again.
Well, they bring it up in Force Awakens then.
Right.
And then, so then, like, well, they're trying to make it like a thing, and then.
Right. Oh, yeah. They really did.
14, 12.
Yeah. Same with the dice. The dice is a forced thing that I can't.
The dice was a forced thing that never paid off.
Like,
I just realized watching it again that they don't actually tell us where the dice came
from.
No, they don't.
I kind of appreciate that fact, but I think it's also just, like, weird that they made it a thing in Last Jedi.
Without actually part
of it. Well, I think it was more that the Last Jedi put it in, and they made it a thing in Solo.
I think they had plans to use it in Solo.
Which is the weirdest touch that they're like, we gotta get these dice in.
Exactly.
Because, like, that would have worked in The Last Jedi fine. Like, it was just fine.
But it did work. Because even I don't think about Solo, I'm like, oh, that is, like, emotional that Luke is gonna grab the volume.
It's like a total. It's just like, okay, here's, like, a thing.
Wait, did we see the dice? When did we first see the dice?
They were supposed to be in Force Awakens, but it was cut out.
So
really?
Yeah.
So,
and
he had,
Ryan knew that, left it in because he had worked off of the script from JJ, and then decided not to take it out of the movie.
We see him take the dice off of the Falcon, right? Okay,
okay.
I was just trying to think, like, does he just hand Leia a set of dice and we're all supposed to know what those
are? She's like, what am I supposed to do with this?
What are these?
But that moment is wonderful. Like, those that we love are not truly gone, or whatever the line specifically was. Beautiful. I mean,
goosebumps.
You know, I don't know how you don't watch The Last Jedi on a constant loop. I mean, if you haven't seen it more than one time, what are you doing with your life?
Who are you?
I can't even stand you.
Speaking of me, I was going to ask, so I actually have just thinking about what you guys were saying about, like, general audiences needing the tie-in, needing the touch points of, like, of old Star Wars. Do you think that The Force Awakens, one of the big things that they did was they revealed that, like, they were going to have these legacy cast members returning. Like, it was a big deal that Han, Luke, and Leia and Chewie, you know, all the originals were going to turn up in these. If they hadn't done that, you know, if they had made the movie with Rey and Finn and Poe and just straight up introduced a new generation, hey, look, a new version of the Empire has risen.
Yeah.
I think that people still would have turned up in droves for The Force Awakens, which I think kind of contradicts the idea that, like, they needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they had Harrison Ford, so more people turned up, maybe. Yeah. But, like, so I don't know. I think you can if you write a good enough movie and you market it as, like, look at how hot and new and exciting this is, new and exciting.
Okay. All right.
It's a different phrase.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
This sounds a lot like something my friend says.
Yeah. Sounds a little like.
But, you know, I think people would still turn up for that movie. But, like, I don't know. I mean,
can you imagine if they waited until episode 9 to show, like, Luke as a Force ghost, like, come in?
And he was just like, good job, kids.
Like, we hear nothing about, like, we hear, like, tale a little bit of Luke, but then, like, they're kind of like,
and
he's
passed.
We just had
to wonder how he died.
Yeah, like, he, like,
you
he's,
never knew?
Yeah, like, he's passed, and then in episode 9, like, something happens, and, like, similar to, like.
But then they show a flashback, and it was just, like, some accident where he, like, slipped.
He's like, oh, man, the bread's in the bottom of the toaster. And he's like,
I just got out of the bath.
And he has a fork in his hand. I'll be right there, Chewbacca. Hold on.
Buzz, I think you're just trying to say that he used the force to get the toaster over to him.
Nope, he had to use the fork. He put it in, and then he electrocuted himself.
I mean, look,
he
all
has
of
like
that.
A, he has like he's using the force to bring the toaster over the bathtub.
Yeah, exactly.
He has like a butter. He has a butter force moment where it slips.
And then Chewbacca walks in. I don't know why they're living together. Also, just hot.
The only two they
can
get.
Hot.
It's you not see, even like a Star see, Wars house. Like it's just a, like a regular suburban
while,
house.
While Luke's in the shower, you see like a video message pop up, but it's like Harrison Ford. I'm like, hey, Luke.
It's a reminder, the toaster's getting a little wonky.
Hey, Luke, I got that toaster you wanted on this. I'll be flying in a little bit. Like, they couldn't even afford to get him in the movie. It's just his audio clip. Just the Harrison Ford.
Or they do like a Crispin Glover in Back to the Future 2. He's like upside down and floating.
Yeah.
It's just, or it's just a photo of Harrison Ford with like a voice actor.
Call from Han.
Yeah,
doing
call
a voice,
from Han. Yeah.
Voice
they couldn't even afford him. It's just Chewbacca. Yeah.
Episode 50. We have fun.
I can't wait. Can't wait.
A lot of prime real estate in these concepts we're coming up with.
I know.
I keep telling people this.
Yeah.
They just don't listen.
I mean, some are hot and some are fresh.
Oh, no.
What would you say for hot and new if you were talking about like a donut?
Hot and new.
Well, considering that we've got ourselves to this point, Ryan, I know you have a jingle that you like to do.
I do.
Let's get Chris into his. Yeah. His we're at that point of the pod.
And then we got a game, don't we?
Oh, we got a game.
There's gonna be noises.
I'm so distracted by the noise. I gotta get some
coffee.
Are you
gonna go yell? Are you gonna go yell at them? All right. Are you gonna do it while I'm singing the theme song?
Chris has literally gotten up to get more coffee.
We're recording a podcast right now.
Literally in the middle of recording.
We're trying to kill some time while Chris gets some coffee.
I'm so sorry.
And the pod
is. You can't possibly need more coffee.
I think we lost about 30% of the listeners right there.
Because Chris got distracted by a motorcycle.
I think we lost him during the four minutes of dead air between a couple bad jokes.
If we didn't lose him now, we're going to lose him then. Here we go.
Here we go.
Chris is hot and fresh. Chris is hot and fresh. Chris got hot and fresh takes episode 9.
Pan up.
Oh, man. Tatooine.
Pan up to Tatooine desert. We see robed footsteps making.
Robed footsteps.
Robed a person in a robe is walking in the desert. We see footprints.
Oh, but you mean like robed ones?
Robed
now
footprints.
Now I get it.
Are there footprints? Actually, they're making the footprints? Is there a second set?
He has his robe hiked up a little bit.
Gotcha,
so you can see
but
the,
is there a second set of footprints?
There's only one set of footprints.
Ben, yeah. I was carrying you.
It's our Jesus, Obi-Wan Kenobi. But we hear a baby crying. That's weird, we think.
You're writing the movie and our reactions.
Audience laughs. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Audience laughs. We hear a baby crying. Pan up more. We see it's Ewan McGregor. Young
is
Obi.
The baby?
No. It's just a baby with
the
Ewan
only
McGregor.
Mo-cap the
yeah,
baby.
It's a baby with Ewan McGregor's face. No, it's Ewan McGregor holding a baby. We assume it's Luke or Leia. He's walking into another little hut. It's
definitely Luke, not Leia. I mean, she was never there. But
maybe on a diplomatic mission.
Maybe he went back and said, like, hey, this is what the sister looks like.
Gotcha,
just in case
okay.
To Aunt Peru. Took the baby again. Like, this is really dangerous. Why did you bring them together? So after he does that, we pan up again to Tatooine. We see the footsteps of Ewan McGregor, who's playing himself.
Not Obi-Wan.
Audience members are dizzy.
They're dizzy. The pan, the first pan goes all the way around. It's a 360 pan. It's the first one ever done on camera. And we see he's holding a baby, and he goes to one of these huts, and he delivers the baby to, is it Aunt Beru? No, it's not. It's a different family. It's Rey's mom.
So I can describe. I'm so glad that we could see each other's faces for this.
It's Rey's mom. This is
the baby is Rey's mom.
Yeah, it's a flashback. that Obi-Wan was saving Jedi and storing them on Tatooine.
Storing them?
Storing them.
Saving them and bringing them to Tatooine to be raised by humble moisture farmers. So Luke and Leia, Luke was not the only one. That is weird. Luke really got the bad end of that deal.
Don't try to divert.
Okay.
So do you think
Luke
did you think
it's like if one like one kid was adopted by like Brad Pitt.
Right. The other was like they farm moisture on a desert. But so I'm thinking it starts in a flashback and this
Wait,
is
that's not the beginning?
This is the beginning of the movie, but that's the flashback. The flashback is Obi-Wan doing what he did for the Skywalker family, but doing it for Rey's family.
Okay.
And so then basically we find out that like Obi-Wan had done this for other people. Like he wasn't the only person. Luke wasn't the only person he had mentored.
So Obi-Wan's in the child trafficking business? Is that what you're doing?
It's called Obi's List.
Wait, so this is a flashback to the beginning of episode 9?
This is how this is how episode 9 part 1 of 3 starts.
Are you saying this is how Ewan and Obi ends up in episode 9 at the
Exactly.
end?
And that introduces us to the Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan to make segue from the movie after the trilogy.
Okay.
I think we had our introduction.
No.
The prequels.
No.
For a new generation.
But for a new generation. So this is a flashback. It takes place, what?
Kids.
Would it be 30 years before? No, 60 years probably, right?
No.
50.
Oh,
is the baby Ray's mom?
Ray's
or is
mom.
The baby is Ray's mom.
Is
yeah.
Ray's mom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, the mocap is by Keri Russell.
Yeah,
this part.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
where Keri
but
Russell
it will then, and then the next scene we see is like Keri Russell like running away from some kind of monster or something.
Oh, so you're saying that she is Ray's mom?
Yeah.
I don't think she's Ray's mom.
All right. That's bad.
That was Chris's Hot and Fresh Takes, episode 9.
Presented by Subway.
Hot and fresh.
Nailed it. I love it.
Sam's skin is crawling.
I do think, what if we had Ewan McGregor in episode 9 as like a force ghost, but for like a big lightsaber battle, and like a force ghost like got into it?
Hasn't
yeah.
Chris,
that'd be cool.
Kind of like a Lord of the Rings kind of thing?
Being that would be like Lord of the Rings, where it's like there's ghosts and people fighting?
Yeah.
I don't listen.
I'm Michelangelo.
I don't think
I mean, it'd be chaotic in terms of what it's saying about the afterlife and the Force, which is like...
Yeah.
Well, Yoda just comes into the middle of a battle and does a lightning strike wherever he wants,
well,
right?
Well, also, it's interesting, but they don't know what they can do with that yet, also. Like, it was new to Yoda by the end of episode 3.
New to Yoda?
Yeah, it was like new that he could...
Qui-Gon discovered, the way
A nudie Yoda?
No.
You know, that they're developing even after. What I'm saying is, say you're a Jedi, spend your whole life in solitude.
Yeah.
Then you die and you're finally a piece of Force Ghost. Now you got to deal with the Force Ghost Darth Maul and fight him in the afterlife before you go on to the real afterlife. Like, ugh.
Luke shows up. Where's all the blue milk?
Luke shows up. You're still explaining stuff to this guy.
Qui-Gon's just like, no. He's like, let's go over this one more time.
But where are my books?
Who's on Tatooine?
Yes. all right.
There it is.
Well, I think that brings us to another segment. I'll do mine, you know, as a little bit of a palate cleanser before we get into the jackets.
Yeah.
Galaxy's Edge is my featured segment, not nearly as scatterbrained as our previous segment. Only bit of real news that I noticed is that John Williams and Michael Giacchino are going to be crafting music for The Galaxy's Edge. So when you're walking around the park, you're going to be hearing some new music from John Williams. You'll be hearing some Michael Giacchino. Apparently, they've already worked together on Star Tours. Hmm. They've done some music for the latest version of Star Tours.
I did not know that.
It is very clear how drastic the tone is, the difference between what I'm saying and what Chris said. It's almost awkward and I'm feeling very uncomfortable right now.
I'm sorry. I'm writing Sam's theme song in my head.
Okay, all right, good. Yeah. Go for it.
I like that idea, though. Yeah, the I'm sorry. How do you pronounce
Giacchino?
It? Giacchino. It's just gonna be like those falling violins when you walk around. You're like, what the heck? You're like jumping all the time.
With a theme from Up.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, they're playing it on like a low.
Everyone's
you can't
in
even
tears.
Register it. But everybody's crying for no reason. Yeah.
Well, it brings up an interesting question: is Star Tours dead?
Mm.
I don't know.
Think so. I hope
because
not.
With Galaxy's Edge, are they just moving Star Tours into the park?
I think so because that is such a, like an iconic.
Yeah.
I would think so as well, but I haven't heard any information of that yet. So I believe that's happening, but we don't have any details that it will be.
Every single time I go on Star Tours, I get Naboo. They always are like, oh, there's like more than 1,000 things. I'm always on Naboo and then Hoth every time.
They listen to the pod. They know you like the episode one.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we got Ryan from the droids pod here.
Here we go.
Let's load up.
Fire up Naboo.
Lights start dimming.
I haven't been on Star Tours in years, but I would love to have the crate experience. Now that crate is part of it.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, that'd be rad.
What do you like, fly through the tables?
Never been on Star Tours?
No.
Wow.
All right, well. End of next year, when the park opens, we're taking Sam on his first Star Tours. So you don't know who the new DJ in the cantina is.
Oh. Do you think it's Lin-Manuel Miranda?
No. It's what's his name? He used to be the robot in the droid who was in Star Tours.
Yeah.
Not the one, C-3PO. I don't remember what his name is.
I forget what his name is.
Is it Rex? It's not Rex.
But it's like a thing where it's like, why wasn't that 3PO and then 3PO?
Yeah, Rex sounds familiar.
I think it was Rex.
I feel like you might be right.
And then 3PO came in.
Yeah.
And so they made it 3PO. But Star Tours, looked forward to that, Sam. Sam, onto the jackets. That's my jacket. We need a theme song. Okay. Ryan?
Sam. Sam has got a jacket. Sam has got a jacket for you.
I'm delighted at how clean that was.
Was it Sam? Sam, well, let me sing it again for you. Sam has got a jacket. Sam has got a jacket for you.
This
episode isn't airing anywhere.
So this week on Sam has got a jacket for you.
Jacket Sam.
Okay.
We really don't have any listeners left, do we?
Oh,
we they're all in Ireland.
Guys, in honor of the newest entry into your digital collection of Star Wars movies, we're taking a look at the new iconic Han Solo jacket. This is the suede, the brown and black two-tone suede sort of pilot's jacket that
flyer's jacket.
Excuse me. It's the flyer's jacket. 100%. There's a big Philadelphia Flyers logo on the back.
Yeah.
They never shoot from behind. But the just look.
This is the jacket that Han Solo wears when he's going to throw batteries at Santa Claus, right?
Yeah. Get a hoagie and a cheesesteak in my Flyers jacket. Some water.
No, I think this definitely feels like a Disney era Star Wars jacket. It's got like a lot of the trim and like piping work on the front that they do. It's a classic like moto collar on there. The sleeves look a little, you know, they're a little longer than the jacket. It's a shallow cut on the back. Mm-hmm. I think it's very fitted. It looks great. I don't know. What are our takes on the two-tone? I don't love the black shoulders on it. I wish it were just all solid.
Yeah.
I agree. I think it's cleaner, like the Hoth jacket.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, it's probably motivated, like, mix it up a little bit. Looks a little better on camera, maybe, to have it.
I guess it reminds you of the two tones of him wearing the vest and the shirt that he had.
That's what I kind of thought. It's, like, almost a little inverted of the vest.
Oh, interesting. Well, yeah, but the panels don't... I don't know. Yeah. I'm curious what it was, if it was just, like, for some visual interest. Add some, you know, add more panels. Add more stuff. But, you know, personally, I buy jackets in one color.
Do you think when we're introduced to Han Solo and you see the vest, that was the first day he decided to wear a vest? And like,
now everybody knows me this way.
Yeah, exactly.
He was like trying on a new personality. Yeah. It was like when he was like a freshman in college.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe he'll be dark and mysterious.
It's your friend who wears like the newsboy cap for the first time. Yeah. Oh, really?
Meet like a whole group of new friends that day.
That's
new boy.
Hey, oh, cool. I'm the hat guy now.
Yeah, he pulls it off. I feel like that might have been his thing.
No, I think that's it. Guys, I'm looking at this jacket. I don't know that I have much to say. I do think it's it's a great silhouette. It's a great shape.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great cut and fit.
Yeah.
I just don't know that I'm crazy about the tones. I like the suede, but, you know, keep it simple, you know? Go solid.
Costume design, though, has never been a big problem in any of the original films or new films. I mean, we're never sitting there being like, well, that's just weird.
It's great that they did not go with it. If you guys have, I think, Mike, you also have the big Macquarie art books.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yep.
So Mike and I both, there's a two-volume
27-pound.
Yeah, it's heavy. Concept art books that you guys can, I'm sure you can find them on Amazon. They were released a few years ago. And they're just like beautiful, high quality print editions of a lot of Macquarie's original concept art from the original trilogy. And they have a ton of like, it seems like Han Solo and Chewbacca went through the most sort of drastic iterations of costume. I feel like everybody else looks kind of similar to what they appear in the movie the whole way through. But like, there's a period, a long period, where Han Solo had like a full on like mask and visor, a full beard. He was wearing much more of like a Buck Rogers style spacesuit. And there's, it's like very, very late, and there's only like one or two sketches that are more of like a vest over pants and a shirt type style that we got. And I think, you know, thank God, it would have been interesting in Solo if they had done a callback, if they had put him in like a real like space cadet outfit for with the Empire. That would have been a sweet callback.
Like Darth Vader's castle in Rogue One, how that was based off a Macquarie sketch that never got brought to
fruition.
It's
so interesting how Solo has so little of that. What's there's that? Very little callbacks to any.
Yeah,
I mean,
considering
like,
all the fan service it does.
There's some the deleted scenes. They have a few of them where he's kind of wearing like the uniform and all that.
Oh. They did do an action figure though of the Solo design that you're talking about by Ralph McQuarrie. They made a limited. I think it was a Comic-Con action figure that you could only get.
That's so
in
cool.
A short one-off.
That would be awesome. Yeah. I would love that. Or it could have been what they could have done it with Harrison Ford in The Force Awakens. That could have been his. He could have graduated to like ridiculous costuming.
I'm not going to say you do Sam's theme song again because I think we've heard it a couple of times.
Well, no, I got it. I got it.
Then we'll have to.
Sam had a jacket. Sam had a jacket for you. It's past tense in that one.
I'm going to put you on the spot. I never got a Galaxy's Edge one. I went very quickly into it. So
yeah,
just
okay. Galaxy's Edge in with Mike.
All right, well, we all asked for it, and Ryan delivered. Thank you.
Ryan didn't have a segment, so we're going to move on to the time where we play some feud.
Mine would have been Ryan plays KOTOR.
Oh.
That would have been mine. But Ryan didn't play KOTOR. Oh. All right, go ahead, sir.
All right, it's that time. Star Wars Family Feud. I'm your host.
That time you all know so well.
Chris Hosto. That's my Star Wars name. That's my host.
It's good. But it has like an apostrophe after the first H.
It's C'HRIS. All right, here we go. We all know how it works. Let's make your sounds if you're going to buzz in, even though we're in person.
Well,
all right,
that's
a good
one.
R2?
That's a good one.
You'll need a nickname.
Oh, you'll need a nickname.
Wow! That was Joey Lawrence doing R2-D2.
Oh, okay. That's good. I like that. That's nice. I like that. All right. Name a distinct part of Obi-Wan Kenobi's appearance.
Wow! You'll need a nickname.
Ryan.
Robed footsteps.
We asked 100 people, is robe on there?
Bing!
Robe, number two, 22 points.
You'll need a nickname.
Mike.
Beard.
Number one, 65 points from
Whoa.
Mike.
What a jump.
There's two more.
Whoa!
Ryan.
Lightsaber?
Sam.
That he's a ghost? That he glows blue.
Translucent. Gong.
Sorry.
I started making the good sound. I started making the good sound, but then forgot. It's a bad sound. Any other guesses?
What could they be?
Oh, you'll need a nickname.
Mike.
Rat tail?
Anything else?
No.
All right. Number three, his hairstyle.
What?
And number four,
no,
his blue eyes.
Hey, hang on. Rat tail, hairstyle.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Oh, man. Okay. All right. I'll give you that. Guys,
how many points?
You're right.
Can we all take a minute to picture Alec Guinness with that hair, with the Padawan haircut?
Also, I thought you meant he had a literal rat's tail.
Wait, how many points was that for Mike?
6 points, Mike.
Six? So you're 71 points. Right.
So who said beard?
I did.
Oh, you got it. Oh, you have 70.
He has 71 points, and I have 22.
That's 71
points.
But
the other two most identifiable things about Obi-Wan are his blue eyes and his hairstyle.
His hairstyle. Like, it's not even like a specific hairstyle, just like his hairstyle. Right. That's like if someone was like, your face.
There we go.
Lightsaber. Lightsaber is a better answer.
Yeah. Thank you, man.
I agree. All right. Here we go. Face off. Survey says, name something you would find in Yoda's hut. Sam.
His walking stick.
Ding, number seven. 6 points.
That was six.
Yeah. For a second, I just thought of Yoda like Miracle on 34th Street, his walking sticks in the corner. So that's where you know that Yoda was in there.
Whoa. That was fully true.
Ryan.
A pot.
Yes, number eight, pot. 5 points.
Which you find pot in Yoda's really home.
The way they have it written is like, save some you find in Yoda's hut. Pot. Whoa.
But how do we know need a nickname.
Mike.
I think this is production-wise, but it's also true in the movie. Snakes.
Yes. True. Ding. Number three. That's 15 points.
15 points. Mike with 86 points.
Sam.
Luke Skywalker.
Whoa.
Ryan.
An empty bed.
Ding.
Really?
Yeah, that's number two, 15 points. That
oh,
must have
man.
Had, that must have had a real impression on people.
You'll need a nickname?
Mike.
Fireplace?
Ding. 6 points, or 8 points for number six, fireplace.
So Mike has 94
so nobody's
points at this
hit number
point.
Number one yet.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm at 34 points.
Sam.
R2-D2? Does he ever go inside? I don't know.
No,
no
he's
he
outside,
looks from the outside.
That's like the whole point
sad.
Is that he's outside.
It's like a gag, yeah.
All right, well, go ahead. Do it. Do the noise. Do it. Do it. I'm ready. Yeah, thank you.
What is number one?
Wait, are we done?
I think
guessing?
We've exhausted. Number one, lightsaber.
What?
Oh, something that's not part of Obi-Wan's appearance, but definitely.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan's hairstyle.
We never actually see a lightsaber in Yoda's hut in the movie.
Number four?
That's just people are assuming that.
Yeah, they're assuming
number four? Soup.
Oh, I thought that was covered in pot.
And then we got, nope. And then we got
unless they meant literally like pot.
We got the rest. Soup.
It's a game
Chris,
over.
I have a question.
You
I want you to
back?
Be honest.
Yeah.
Did you just come up with that today?
On the spot.
Really?
Yep. As I started thinking it.
Seems like you guys got two musical savants over here.
Hey, wow. Yeah. You guys a regular.
Boy, aren't we lucky, Sam?
It's like a regular Lin-Manuel Miranda and the other guy.
The other guy that Lin makes sure he brings up all the time.
And well, Tim Rice.
That sounds like the end of the pod right there. Guys,
forever?
We're...
maybe, honestly, maybe.
Been, after today, it's been a good run.
This might be a violation of some terms of service.
We're going to be banned from Apple. It'll be on Alex Jones's network. No, sorry.
You want to try to do an impression of him talking about Star Wars?
I don't
Star
even
Wars?
Know what he sounds like.
To be clear, we would turn down that offer.
Yeah. Star Wars never happened.
Oh, spot on Alex Jones Network.
I've never seen any evidence of a Star War, and neither have you.
We would turn it down.
Yeah.
Buy my Force pills.
Oh, God. Oh, boy.
Guys, we don't get a chance to be together often to record a pod. I think, are we ending it there, or do we have more to talk about in person together?
I think we're good.
You know what? No, we do it. We have one thing that we haven't talked about
that
was brought up by Ryan
What's
as
that?
What should have been the linchpin of this episode.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
Our favorite Star Wars moments since this podcast began, which began in March of 2017.
Yeah.
So we've seen two films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rebels came to a close.
The way that this was conceived of was like, it could be anything.
Yeah.
So like, without the, so if you say like the Solo trailer reveal, right? That I don't think that would be one, but it could be.
Yeah.
You don't have to count that Solo ended up being what Solo was. It was like that moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, I could start. I mean, we could start with just our biggest one.
Are we going to get into emotions, hugs about, you know, the best moments are of the ones together?
Yeah. Well, yeah sure.
They
I
know.
Think so.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. So here's the thing. Mike, unfortunately, you weren't here for this one.
Oh, no.
But I wish you were. It was a matter of geography at the time. So let's just keep that in mind. Mike was still in Chicago. But for me, the greatest Star Wars moment that's happened since we started the pod was the throne room fight during The Last Jedi. The first time seeing it in the theater.
You're right. I was in Chicago, and I was not on Snoke's master ship.
Aren't we talking about podcast memories?
No, we're talking about Star Wars.
Oh, okay. I was like, I was in my head. I was like, why would you specifically point something? Sorry.
Okay, but we could do podcast.
No,
we're talking about moments in the saga, the franchise.
Moments in the Saga was the throne room fight, experiencing for the first time in a theater. My favorite podcast memory was our review of Revenge of the Sith. It was the culmination of our entire prequel experience, and it's one of my favorite episodes we've done.
Wow.
That's good. I like the combo. Great. Two things.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris was panicked about coming up with one, so I'd love to see him come up with two.
I got it. My favorite podcast moment is right now, guys. Aww. That's not true. My favorite, I've been thinking about this a lot, and one of my favorite moments, it's in The Force Awakens, and it's the reveal of the Millennium Falcon.
Okay. That's not since the podcast started.
That's before the pod started. Sure.
But that's good. You've watched it since then.
These weren't hard parameters.
Why am I so confused at what this is?
That's good. No, we'll accept that.
Favorite moment.
That was fine.
Okay. That's my recent favorite moment. Since the podcast started, I think one of my favorite moments was when we all, after like the last Jedi trailers, the podcast after that, that was a lot of fun. And then getting all together while after Solo and doing it live in the theater, I think was like, that was a blast. That was kind of like the dream of this podcast, like in a smaller form. Hopefully we can do more things like that.
I'll do two, but what's interesting is I actually think they're both kind of from the podcast. My favorite moment overall that I was going to bring up was when we recorded the immediate reactions to The Last Jedi, where we did see that movie separately, but we recorded. I mean, it's something, you know, 1 a.m. or
it was very
you
know, late.
It was extremely late, and just the energy we were all feeling, like there it was. We were unequivocally on a high after that movie, and it was so fun to like race back home, you know, plug in, hook up the mics, and like just immediately talk about it and like dish on our favorite parts. So that was like a highlight, which also involves a pod. But then I think maybe my favorite specific podding moment was when we did our ranking of the saga films and the revelation that Chris and I had, like, except for two, identical lists. Yeah. And it was I fully expected that not to happen. Yeah. I expected to be,
that was,
you know,
a fun,
outside.
That was very fun.
That was very fun. I was tickled by that.
Yeah.
Sam, I'm in the same boat in terms of favorite moment of the pod, the instant reaction to The Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. Not just because we were all kind of like on that high, but because it was the unfiltered reaction. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any other lens but our own.
Yeah.
And we were kind of talking with each other and learning each other's reactions, which I thought was really special.
Yeah.
And it also just feels like you don't get a chance that much anymore in this current media world that we live in to hold on to your reaction. And the fact that I have a recording of us talking about it, where I'm like, that was what I thought right away.
Yep.
I didn't get influenced by somebody who's probably a better writer and a better film critic than I am. And I just had my reactions.
Do you remember that was also in the moments before we realized like there were people who didn't like it? Which is, like, at that moment, I'm going to go back now and actually listen to that episode because I'm sure at that moment, it was an impossibility to me that anyone could have not loved that movie.
Yeah. I think I say in the episode, I can't imagine anyone being unsatisfied.
Yeah.
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 I think you did. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm changing my moment to that moment. The more we just start talking.
Wait,
what
was your first one?
It's literally though, like, if you recorded,
I'm changing mine or whatever.
I wish we could have recorded us as like 11-year-olds walking out of the Phantom Menace. Talk about like before you knew.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Well, that's a little different.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, I guess there's still the backlash, but I feel like the Phantom Menace backlash was bigger than Last Jedi.
Yes. Yeah. I just mean like before, like, you know, you're just like, that was great. I love it.
Or you're just thinking of yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite moment in the films, in the series, in the franchise, is the Yoda scene in Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. I think that has reframed my mind in a lot of ways.
Wow.
I'm just thinking about who I want to be going forward in my life. And I even caught a clip. I was trying to like drain the battery on my new phone to set the battery, and I turned on Last Jedi. And I caught a random clip, which was just the moment where Luke is saying, because I was a legend, because I was Luke Skywalker. And all I thought was, this is the best Star Wars movie. And
yeah,
that'll change, as it always does. It, you know, but I, for the moment right now, I'm like, this is probably the best Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
yes, Empire and A New Hope will always hold probably greater esteem in my mind. But those are my moments. I look forward to many more. That's, again, why any step back in the production of Star Wars is not good. I want to have more of these conversations.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to get us all together. And if we don't have a movie to get together and talk about,
we are dependent on a third party to continue doing this.
Exactly. Yeah, and I mean, I think that kind of goes back to the original incarnation of all this, Mike, when we would call each other after Star Wars movies or Star Wars things, just talk for hours. And and then one day we're like, we should do this all the time.
And was that Force Awakens?
Yeah, it was Force,
we had a long three-hour conversation, longer than the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I had taken a day off of work.
Oh, my God, yeah.
We just talked about it, and then soon after, the pod got started, and here we are.
Well,
so I just want to thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Chris and Mike. Thanks for having us on later into the... You know, bringing us on.
Ryan, I'm sorry I didn't think of you before I even knew you existed. I'm really, I apologize.
No, but I, like I said, it was
and I just
it was my dream to be a regular on the pod. As soon as Chris said he had a Star Wars podcast, I said, even before I guessed it, I said to my wife, I want to be on that pod. Then after I guessed it, I was like, I'm getting on that pod.
And I just want to say, Sam and Ryan, you guys are officially, you've passed the audition process.
Thank you. You made it.
We can hang around?
If you skip an episode now, we're not going to say you're not coming back.
All right. Yeah, you've made it. Except
that makes this all worth it.
Well, we'll echo the thank you to everybody, guys.
Yeah, thank you to our listeners. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also, listeners, you have a favorite moment of the pod. Send us an email, droidspod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what your favorite moment was.
Yeah. Please.
It can't be my songs this time.
And
it's too easy. It's my song.
we've thanked each other. Yeah, but just like another thank you to the listeners, for anyone that's ever written in or anything like that. We really appreciate it. I mean, we do this out of our own love for Star Wars, but we also do it for like the community, the collective love of Star Wars. So if you guys are listening and part of this, that's great.
And just on that note, if you do like the pod, and want to share it, the best thing we could ask, the best way you could pay it for would be just to share it with a friend who might actually enjoy listening to the garbage that we spew week in and week out.
Yeah.
Write a review on iTunes. Yep. Get engaged on any of our like social medias, you know, accounts. Write in. But really, you know, we rely on you completely for that, and we really appreciate it. It's been so exciting every time someone new does write in or pop up on our radar as a new listener or somebody who's enthusiastic. Yeah. I can just say it brightens like each of our days when that happens. We text each other about it. So this is still very much a small shop thing, and it's something that we're really grateful to you guys for. So please spread the good word.
Right.
droidspod@gmail.com, twitter.com/droidspods, Facebook, Instagram, droidspod. You got to check out the Instagram. A lot of great stuff on there, and we will continue to talk about everything involving the Star Wars cinematic universe that expands every single week. That will do it for our first all in person edition of the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast.
Short for Stormtrooper.
We have what they grow beyond.
Anniversary 50th.
That was good, guys. Should we hit record on the next one?
You boys want to go to medieval times?